Thank you very much, Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Thursday, June 30th, 2016. Thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. I'm Dimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. A former ZANU-PF member insults President Robert Mugabe for allegedly running down Zimbabwe.
It's a red line. I know. And my name is Lumumba. I say it three times so you don't forget it. Come get me.
Civil servants are set to convene a meeting tomorrow to discuss proposals by the government to give workers only $100 this month as salary.
We are going to have a full Apex Council tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And in this meeting, we are going to deliberate on the feedback from consultations by respective unions.
And Africans living in the diaspora say there is need to strengthen ties among themselves if they have to play a key role in American politics.
We need to have a voice for our community. One of the ways we thank this country is to vote. So it is a civic duty. It is something we owe to America.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Former ZANU-PF member Asim Lumumba today announced the formation of his new party while denigrating President Robert Mugabe, whom he accused of running down the country's economy. Our reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Lumumba, who made headlines recently when his sex tape was leaked, announced the formation of his Viva Zimbabwe political party, charging that time he has now come for the youth to take charge of their destiny. Lumumba, who addressed himself as the interim chairman of Viva Zimbabwe, accused President Robert Mugabe of running down the country's economy and went further to insult the president, adding that he was ready to face the consequences.
Our kids are in trouble. It's a red line. It's a red line. I know. And my name is Lumumba. I say it three times so you don't forget it. Come get me. But here's the thing about getting me. I'm someone's child, a war veteran's child. You touch me, you can touch me. But I hope you live long. Because God forbid something happens to you and you leave your kids. They will be touched too.
Several opposition members and supporters have been arraigned before the courts countrywide for insulting the presidency. His remarks were criticized by former student leader and ZANU-PF activist Tafadzwa Mugwadi, who described Lumumba as childish.
Well, that was clueless, lawlessness. It was just a basic display of lawlessness and cluelessness. Why? Because you cannot expect that as a people, as a generation that is beginning to enter into politics, using the obscene languages that they were using, that he employed in his address, it shows that he's not grounded in both theory and practice.
Director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy in Zimbabwe, Sidney Chisi, said Lumumba's remarks were disrespectful to the office of the president.
There is a difference between being courageous and being stupid. And for me, I think it doesn't augur well. It doesn't bring him any new momentum by being so abusive to the person of the president. As much as we might not like Robert Mugabe, the person, I think it's also very traditional and very even Christian, coming from a Christian background, to say you need to respect your elders, no matter how bad they are. A.C. Lumumba goes into public and uses the F word on the person of the president, then it also gets us to ask critical questions to say, what kind of a leader is he trying to bring? What kind of motivation does he try to bring to the young generation? So I think it was not necessarily courageous. I think it was utter stupidity.
But Viva Zimbabwe member Agency Gumbo defended Lumumba, saying most Zimbabweans are angry with Mr. Mugabe such that they are suffering silently.
It's an exhibit of the level of frustration you are going to undergo. And that frustration is true amongst many youths in the country.
Political analyst and editor of the Observer newspaper, Barnabas Tondlana, said it was worrisome that political parties keep mushrooming at a time when all pro-democracy groups should be forming a formidable coalition ahead of the 2018 elections to increase the opposition's chances of winning against President Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party.
It's their right to form a political party, but what we question is, we are seeing too many political parties coming onto the scene. So why then should we have another political entity coming on the scene whose programs and aspirations are maybe similar to already existing political parties?
The 27-year-old Lumumba, who did not parade the leadership of his party, said he was not going to contest the presidency in 2018, but would work hard to make sure that the youth of Zimbabwe elect a leader who has the interests of the youth at heart. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Apex Council, the civil servants' umbrella body, is planning a meeting in Harare tomorrow to deliberate on the feedback from members of various unions following consultations over proposals by the government to pay each worker $100 as part of their outstanding June salaries. This comes amid reports that the government has already deposited the money into workers' bank accounts. Apex Council Chairperson Cecilia Alexander says they're surprised that the government went on to deposit the $100 before finalizing the issue with affected workers. Some unions have openly rejected the deposited funds, arguing that it will not cushion them from anything since they have families to feed. The government failed to meet its financial obligations due to lack of funds. Alexander tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that after receiving their members' feedback, that's when they will then come up with a way forward.
We are going to have a full Apex Council tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And in this meeting, we are going to deliberate on the feedback from consultations by respective unions. And after receiving the feedback, we expect to come up with a way forward.
We understand that the $100 advance payment that the government had proposed to give to its workers are already reflecting in some members' accounts. What's the implication?
Yes, what is generally coming up is that this money is not going to save the intended purpose because all the money has been swallowed by loan repayment. So at the end of the day, the issue of incapacitation has not been addressed. And the workers are very bitter about it. They are very disgruntled. And tomorrow we are also going to discuss around that. And we are also disappointed as human representatives that government has moved on to implement whilst we are still consulting. Because when they brought this option on the table, we told them that we are going out to consult. And before we have even gone back to them to report that this has been rejected, we see that they have already started paying.
When are you expected to meet with the government?
I think it's one of the resolutions, as I mentioned before, that we're going to be having a meeting tomorrow. We expect that that meeting is going to come up with a number of resolutions on how we should move forward.
You are also calling for a meeting with workers on Saturday. May you explain the purpose of this meeting?
It is healthy, especially in such situations, to also meet the workers themselves and maybe give them the platform to also speak for themselves.
That was Apex Council Chairperson Cecilia Alexander speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. Africans living in the diaspora say there is need to strengthen ties among themselves if they are to play a key role in American politics. Speaking at a town hall meeting today organized by the Voice of America in Washington, D.C., titled African Votes and Voices, the Diaspora and U.S. Elections, participants noted that they have a big stake in American politics, and as a result, it is prudent for them to work as a formidable group to influence USA's policies toward Africa. One of the panelists, Ni Akwete, activist and executive director of African Immigrant Caucus, said voting is critical for Africans living in this country.
Something about this country that attracts us and attracts everybody from all over the world, there's something it does for us. How do we thank this country? One of the ways we thank this country is to vote. So it is a civic duty. It is something we owe to America. But beyond a civic vote, it is also something we have to do for ourselves. It is enlightened self-interest for us to vote. So those are the reasons why we should vote. My second point is, okay, if we are going to vote, voting is not enough. voting is necessary, it is far from sufficient. There are things we must do before we vote, there must things we must do after we vote. And given how democracy works, especially in this country, yes, this year, 2016, there will be elections in November for president. Guess what? 4 years later, there will be another. So my point is there are things we must do before we vote. There are things we must do after we vote and keep doing until the next voting. So there's a whole lot of things we must do, not just voting only. Of course, there is no time, so I won't go into all of them. But my part of my second point is all those things that we must do, including voting, we will do them much, much, much better if we are organized. Yesterday, I mentioned to someone that I don't think we are organized. And the question was, what do you mean by organized? We have a lot of NGOs. We have a lot of organizations with Africans heading them and names on them. So I said, okay, let me put it another way. If you look at the title, one of the words in the title is voice. We need to have a voice for our community. And I can tell you, as somebody who came to this country to grad school in 1975, I've gone back and forth, but this has been my home. So I've watched politics in Washington, and I can't live anywhere else other than Washington, D.C., because that's the epicenter of politics. And thanks to Nkrumah, politics is in my blood. And so I watch it, and I would tell you that for us to follow the politics, we need to be extremely well organized. We need to have a strong voice.
That was Nia Kwete, activist and executive director of African Immigrant Caucuses. Speaking at the same event, Zimbabwean educator and Baptist minister Reverend Isaac Mwase said there is need to engage politicians after voting them in office.
As this election season heats up, then last comment, I voted for the first time for President Obama when he came to power, after having been in the United States since 1984. And I voted for him in 2012. And as an academic who has taught in American institution, I can tell you that the way Africans who are highly trained get treated by institutions, it's shameful. And I do hope that we'll engage in substantive studies to bring that story to the American public.
That was Zimbabwe educator and Baptist minister Reverend Isaac Mwase speaking at a town hall here at the Voice of America today. Now, in other news, the president of Sierra Leone, Ernest Bai Koroma, today held a meeting with President Mugabe in Harare to look into efforts being made by African nations in transforming the United Nations. African countries are demanding some seats in the powerful United Nations Security Council, currently in the hands of developed nations. The former Secretary General of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ngube, Moses Mzila Ndlovu, has denied reports that he and his colleagues have formed a political party, but says that is only one of a number of options that they have lined up since deserting the MDC. Studio 7's Chris Gande reached out to Ndlovu for clarification.
We think that we should be a justice-based party if we are to form a political party. And what are the issues that we want to deal with if we are to form a political party? There's the issue of land, first and foremost. Now, the people of Matabele land since 1980 have never been involved in the distribution of their land. And we think this is an injustice. If there are people coming outside of Matabele land who have benefited land in Matabele land, why do the people of Matabele land themselves cannot benefit from land elsewhere outside of Matabele land? Secondly, there's an issue of culture. And the issue of culture, and our basic values, our basic beliefs. We think the people of Matabele have been downtrodden and their cultures have been marginalized. It is important for us to restore our identity as a people and therefore demand that we be respected accordingly. Now, this you can go further to education and say it is one of the areas, the social services, where the identity of the people of Matabele is under attack.
But, Mr. Mzila, why did you make it a point that you start by going to South Africa to find out if people are buying your idea?
Ever since we handed Welshman Ngube that petition asking him to step down, we have always been consulting with the former members of the MDC who are now resigned. We have always been consulting. We have traveled the length and breadth of this region, and we have been talking to people outside of Zimbabwe. It's not just South Africa, in Botswana, in Zambia, Kenya, London, and America.
Moses Mzila Ndlovu is the former Secretary General of the MDC formation, led by Professor Welshman Ngube. He spoke with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Plumtree. Coming up, Vice President Phelekezela Mpoko's long stay at a Harare hospital, at a Harare hotel, causes an uproar in Zimbabwe. And a new football body forced to hold a meeting over the dissolution of ZIFA. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. Turkey says the three suicide bombers who carried out the deadly attack on the Istanbul airport were from Russia, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. Turkish officials continue to believe that the attack was launched by Islamic State fighters, but did not name the bombers, who authorities say fired assault weapons at travelers and workers Tuesday at Ataturk International Airport before blowing themselves up. Conservative favorite and Brexit proponent Boris Johnson has said that he will not be running for Prime Minister of Britain. Johnson announced that he will not be a candidate for leadership of the Conservative Party, leaving Justice Secretary Michael Gove and Home Secretary Theresa May, who backed the Remain campaign, as frontrunners to lead the country. And finally, airstrikes have killed at least 250 Islamic State fighters in Iraq. Both Iraqi and U.S. officials reported on Thursday. The airstrikes hit around 40 Islamic State vehicles just south of Fallujah, a former Islamic State stronghold liberated by U.S.-led Iraqi coalitions last week. Some Zimbabweans have been of late staging public protests over the deteriorating social, economic and political situation in the country. The protesters include several groups, including MDC Formation, led by Morgan Tsvangirai. This group and several others have been calling President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to properly run the country. Such calls have been made in the past by various political parties and Occupy Africa Unity Square, led by abducted political activist Itai Dzamara. Is President Mugabe listening to calls for him to step down? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma and Jacob Mapfume, spokesperson of the People's Democratic Party led by Tendai Biti. Chuma says calls for President Mugabe to step down are misplaced.
Yes, I'm missing. Well, the first thing that I was saying is that it's a democratic right for anybody to air their grievance in any way that is allowed in the constitution of our country. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But now, the question of the matter here will be, are the people seeing the root cause of all these problems, or they are just probably taking it from the surface? Because at the time they say that if you want to get rid of a tree, absolutely, you need to then uproot them, remove its roots. But if you cut it on the stem, definitely we all know what will happen later on. It will still come up. So I think we are probably a bit misguided on what we are crying for. It's not the solution for the president to go. There are so many other people problems, the root causes of our economic situation. And also, there's an element of people now trying to come up with another way of enforcing regime change. But the unfortunate thing is that people want to take us to a state and state where it would be deplorable. Like, for example, look at countries like Syria, look at countries like Libya, look at all those countries that have tried to go that route. The end result is that there's no more peace, there's no more settlement, and you can never, ever afford to stay in a volatile situation like that. It's terrible. Buildings are burned down, people are dying, diseases are now prone. It's something that we should not envy as Zimbabwe. That's not the road to go. Let's find the proper route. Let's find a proper problem and solve our problems amicably.
Mr. Mafume, do you agree with that?
I think that Mugabe must go is now not only an economic problem, but a security issue. He is talking about Iraq and so forth. Zimbabwe looks like Somalia. Even when we don't have a war, we have shortages of money. Even countries that are at war do not have shortages of money. We have potholes that are bigger than cars. We have people dying because they have no medicine and the doctors are not treating them. Salaries are not being paid. They are only paying soldiers as if our country is a militia-run country where soldiers and policemen are the only ones that are paid. ZANU-PF people are at each other's throats. The Mnangagwa, Kasukuwere, they are threatening to grab companies. They are destroying towns. There is no water. Sewage is flowing everywhere. Electricity is only there because the industries have shut down. People are in the streets prostituting, thieves galore. People are crossing the borders and fighting at borders to bring goods. Children of Zimbabwe are maids in Mozambique, they are maids in Botswana, they are maids in South Africa and Garden Boys. So this country is dead like its president. And therefore, that he must go is actually a national issue which cuts across political party lines.
Mr. Chuma, you can hear what Mr. Mafume is saying. People, according to him, are very angry about what is going on. So at the end of the day, is the ZANU-PF government prepared to actually risk the president, you know, to say, you know what, people are calling for your ouster, so it's better for you to go, and then you guys actually then rectify what is happening in the country?
That is why I say that it's a misplaced call. All the problems that are happening, the road calls, I said it before. And that's what we need to look at politically and realistically as well. It's not about the president. It goes deeper than that.
What is it exactly?
It will be a discussion for really another day, to be honest with you. But the basic thing is that we know that the economy is being supported. We know that things are not going well because somebody who decided to really pick it up. But what we're saying is that there must be a solution. And the solution is that we will need to come together as Zimbabwe and think of this country as our own and one and only country that we have, that we will ever have, because we'll never have another Zimbabwe. And then start making positively towards resuscitating.
That was ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma. You also heard from Jacob Mapfume, spokesperson of the People's Democratic Party, led by Tendai Biti. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. We're continuing with our series today on the late Joshua Nkomo. Now, in the early years of independence from British rule, then ZAPU leader Joshua Nkomo was accused of trying to overthrow the government after an arms cache was allegedly found at one of the properties owned by his party. The then Prime Minister, Robert Mugabe, deployed the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade to allegedly deal with the internal disturbances in the Midlands and Matabeleland regions. Nkomo's life and that of the top ZAPU leadership was in danger. Thousands of people died in the internal political strife. Nkomo fled the country and said that that was the darkest hour of his life. In this fourth edition of a six-part series on the life and legacy of the late Vice President Nkomo, Ivan Chifera focuses on the trials and tribulations of Father Zimbabwe, as he was affectionately called.
But despite all the persecution and suffering at the hands of Mr. Mugabe, Nkomo returned home from exile in Britain and subsequently signed a unit accord with him in 1987. The unit agreement, which came after several failed attempts to unite the two main liberation movements, is largely credited for the relative peace in the country over the past 24 years, according to project advisor of the Revolutionary Research Institute of Zimbabwe, Chenesani Ntungakwa. Nkomo played a key role in the unit talks.
The fact that Nkomo might not have liked the spilling of blood was a personal quality that had to translate into. I'm told there was a time when there was disagreements what the new party would be called, until Nkomo said, United. What is in a name after all? Let's go to Unity ZANU-PF.
He says the major benefits of the Unity Accord was the removal of armed people in Zimbabwe.
No one wants to live in a country whereby you just have armed personnel. Who we are reading right now about the Middle East, about Nigeria, for instance, where you have Boko Haram. Remember, there was a time in Uganda where the Lord's Resistance Army was a menace. And every evening, villagers had to go and hide and sleep outside because when they came for you, they chopped your hands and stuff like that. So in short, those are the only benefits of unity one can argue today.
Renowned human rights activist and nephew to Ngomo, Dumisani Ngomo, says while some may question Ngomo's decision to sign the unity agreement now, the late nationalist to sign it to stop the slaughter of people by fellow blacks.
But it was a very painful decision. But it was based more on stopping the killings of ordinary people. I mean, that was the primary thing. People were being slaughtered. And at that particular time, if you remember, his military wing, ZIPRA, had been disbanded. So he had no way of actually stopping the killings.
The late sub-leader was furious over accusations that he harbored ambitions of toppling Mr. Mugabe. For some, like former ZANLA combatant Bernard Manyaza, the late father Zimbabwe was a true nationalist, and the signing of the Unity Accord was a clear display of his exemplary and visionary leadership.
Joshua Ngomo left behind us a legacy of true reconciliation, where people have to be truly reconciled despite their political backgrounds, besides their ethnic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and so on. He was the only true leader who had the nation at heart. All the others were pretenders. This is why they revolted away from him to build their own, which, by the way, is now seen to be the vehicle of their looting and corruption.
Political commentator Takura Jangaja adds that Ngomo took the right decision when he signed the unity agreement with his rival, Mr. Mugabe. He says the immediate benefits were that the atrocities in the Midlands and Matabeleland provinces stopped, though there are still outstanding issues of human rights violations and bringing people that were responsible to justice. But amid all the praise for Ngomo, there are others who felt that he sold out by going into bed with someone who committed atrocities against his opponents, mostly Ndebele-speaking people. But Reverend Sikalo Twele begs to differ.
But if you can rewind and go back to 1982 up to 1987, truly speaking, you cannot repeat those words. People were dying, people lived in fear, and that was very difficult, very difficult. I am happy that government acknowledged that through the speeches that were given by the head of state, His Excellency. So it was a sad moment in the history of this country.
The Unity Accord merged ZANU-PF and PF-ZAPU into one party, ZANU-PF, led by Mr. Mugabe. Critics of the accord say Mr. Mugabe emerged stronger with the creation of an executive presidency with Ngomo as one of his deputies. But whatever people may say about the Unity Accord, Jangaja believes that even Ngomo and other ZAPU leaders who have passed on were convinced that the late vice president made the right decision of uniting people and bringing stability in the country. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
This is Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Please stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when today's hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye and Praxedes Jeremiah, talk with listeners about the impact of social media on Zimbabweans and the Zimbabwean culture. If you wish to join the show, please call us at 001-202-619-2077. That number again is 001-202-619-2077. You can also send us a message or number on our WhatsApp, 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. Also, remember, we are live streaming on Facebook, so make sure you log on and join a conversation that way. And also, of course, remember to go to our website for all the news that you heard today, www.voazimbabwe.com. Before we go, a quick recap of our top stories today. A former ZANU-PF member insults President Mugabe for allegedly running down the country. Civil servants are set to convene a meeting tomorrow to discuss proposals by the government to give workers their $100 this month's salary. And Africans living in the diaspora say there is need to strengthen ties among themselves if they have to play a key role in American politics. And that's our program this evening. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Debele, hosted by Ntungamile Nkomo. This is Ndimiake Mwakalielia here in Washington, wishing you a very, very good night.